Episode 47. In this episode, we're going to be discussing tip number 8 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict, and that's titled, Avoid Objectifying Yourself. Now, how would that happen? Well, that's exactly what we're going to discuss, because there's so many simple terms that we use loosely, and unknowingly, we set up ourselves to be objectified. And don't we know that once we become an object, it's really easy to commit violence against us. So let's avoid that tendency and begin simply by saying hello. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Oh, yes, indeed, we have quite a show today because it is a topic that I feel very passionate about. Of course, I feel passionate about all these episodes, but this particular one really is so key. It can change around a situation big time if you grasp the concept. So let me throw it out to you and let's discuss it and see how it works. What we are looking at is making sure that we avoid statements that objectify us. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's take a for instance. Let's say you're at home and there's dishes in the sink. Now, you could say one thing. You could say, you know what the rules of the house are. No dishes in the sink. Well, as soon as you say that, you no longer become, in my case, Rhea. I'm no longer seen as Rhea if I say, you know what the rules of the house are. You want to take a guess of what you start being seen as? You start becoming the rules or the house. And that's an object. I mean, the rules are kind of intangible, but it's an object. It's surreal. It's not human. And rules are really easy to attack. In fact, every one of us loves attacking rules. Here's another example. You might have this if you are a mental health provider or you work in some kind of treatment program or you provide a service, and you'll hear people say, you're not following the program. You know what the program is. Hey, stick with the program already. What's the matter with you? Now again, as soon as you say that, you're no longer Rhea who works at the care center. You become the program. Right? Kind of getting along what I'm saying here? Let's take another example. Okay, that was a brontosaurus, and he's just going to be showing up in today's program. He's kind of grumpy about this whole feeling objectified and not being respected. So just got to go with him and take it as a little bit of levity just for you. Here we go. Let's get back to the example. The law says, or you know what the city ordinance is, or you know what the condo association is, or you know what the sidewalk rules are, or the grocery store is. You know, don't take 15 items in this line. You're only supposed to take 6 items on the express line. All those different situations. Every time we use the program or the rules or the entity to make a statement like that, we become that entity. And you know, the interesting thing, we say things like, you know what the program is, you know what the rules are, because one, we might be a little fearful and we want to have some support, even though there's like nobody standing behind us. We think that by saying the rules are or the program is, we're going to have that like whole entity behind us. But that's not going to happen. That organization isn't going to be standing behind you at that moment. It's really about the connection between you, the messenger, and that person or group of people you're talking to, the receivers, and keeping that connection clear and concise for them. So we want to avoid that, because if you become that rule, that program, that house, that organization, well, you're going to just get kind of smacked around. You might get verbally smacked around, and worse, actually physically smacked around. And it happens all the time. I'm sure somewhere in the world right now, somebody's saying, you know what the rules are? You didn't follow the rules. And just saying that, you could hear how it becomes about the rules versus our relationship. So this is a key thing, and it's really key if you are a professional crisis intervener. But it's also a real big key on our day-to-day interactions, and we want to avoid that. So what do we say instead? How can we say the same thing without creating that opportunity to become an object? I mean, that's no fun. You are a person. I am a person. And that is our biggest asset. Don't give that away. As soon as we say those statements, we are giving our humanity away. And that's what we want to watch out for. So what we say instead is really simple. We go back to the basics. We use I statements. So here's a little piece, and I am reading out of my book just to kind of bring you up. This is part 20. Where are we? Part 20. I have to scroll down here. Part 28 of this ongoing series. So I've done 28 episodes, and I probably could have done 28 more just in this short amount of time, because there's so much to fill out here. And I am on page 102 of my book, so if you're reading along with me, and the book is titled Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And I revised this book, and it came out in 2010 when I revised it. And it's also in Dutch. So if you want to get a copy, you could get it in paperback and an ebook copy. And there are links in the show notes to that offering of the book. Now, so what do we say instead? Let me get back there. I get off on a tangent there, but you know, I have to say this stuff. I know if you've been listening regularly, you know, oh God, is she talking about the Leading Chaos story again? I know it. But I'm hoping that you've been sharing this with other friends and they're coming on for the first time and don't know that. So bear with me. I don't mean to objectify you or belittle your intelligence by going over it. But hey, that's the way podcasts roll, and we have to keep on catching people up. So what do we say instead? Instead of making a rule statement like, hey, you know what the rules are. You gotta, you know, no dishes in the sink. Instead, I can make an I statement and really personalize it. And I can say, when I found the dirty dishes in the sink, I felt angry. I felt upset. I was bummed. Now that gives the person, the receiver, on the other end, an opportunity. They might just say in return, I hate you. I don't care how you feel. But that same person will also have to face the repercussions of a nasty response. And they're going to have to sit with that. So if you really are authentic, and you say, you know, that bumps me out every time I walk up to the sink and I see there's dirty dishes in it. I'm not really sure what to say, and I'm having a hard time with that. You have just humanized the experience, and you have a greater chance of having that person on the receiving end hear you versus attack you because you're just leaning on the rules. Let's look at another piece of this. This happens often in schools. When I've done trainings for schools, I'll hear a teacher tell me something like, you know, I don't like it when kids are swearing at me. And I'll say, well, what do you say if they're swearing at you? And they'll tell me, you know the rules, no swearing. I'm like, wrong answer. Because they're using the rules. Versus trying to say this, I treat you with respect, please don't swear at me. Now, which one would you be more open to? You know the rules, no swearing, or I treat you with respect, please don't swear at me. It's being not only civil and cordial, which is a nice thing to do because that's what we want to model to others and so that they'll receive that back, but it's also avoiding that objectification of ourselves. And you know, that, again, I just kind of, before I move too quickly here, that you know the rules are no swearing, it's a snide comment. It's not a nice thing to say. It's kind of like just throwing back a swear without really making it into a cuss word. I mean, what is a swear? It's like a four-letter word, but it's also something that makes people feel yucky. And as soon as you say a you statement, you know, you shouldn't, you did, you can, you change the whole relationship. So we want to really treat people with respect, and we could return that to them. I can make that I statement. I treat you with respect. Please don't swear at me. And you have to find your own words in that. That sounds a little formal. I might say something a little bit more relaxed, which might be, oh man, you're swearing. Hang on a second. I'm going to have to practice that. I might say, I heard that swear at me, and that's hard. That's hard. I have a hard time hearing that because I really believe in you, and I don't want to go there and be treated with disrespect. I might say that like that. Now, I use a lot of I terms, terminology, and I'm also using a bit of my tone too. I'm feeling it. I'm letting the receiver know my feelings of their message. And whether or not they take it and go with it, I don't really have any control over that, how they're going to receive it. But I do have control on how I'm going to deliver that message. And the more I personalize it, the more I humanize it, the more I have that connection with that person. And that's really what we're going for. Oh, those seagulls are having a good laugh on our part here. They don't like being objectified either, do you guys? No. Okay, so let's keep on moving on here. We are on page 104 now, and I want to just kind of read from the book on working with a shoplifter, and this is a real situation that I was involved in, and I'll give you a synopsis. It happened in a store in New Haven, Connecticut, and was on a main thoroughfare, and it was an outdoor clothing store, and I was in the front section, and there's a couple guys in the back, and the manager, and they worked in the, I was selling the clothes, and they were doing the technical stuff, and it was a good job, and I would have different folks coming in, and one day this young man walked in, and I noticed that he took a couple expensive rain jackets and walked into the dressing room. Now, mind you, he was the only guy in the store. He was the only guy and only person other than me in the store. And I had this immediate gut feeling that something wasn't right. And so what I did is I called the manager, and he came in and he waited for me while the guy came out. And the first thing we noticed was the guy, his jacket was bulging. He had obviously shoved up the rain jackets underneath his jacket. And what did the manager do? He just immediately yelled out, "Hey, you." And then he said, "This store prosecutes shoplifters. Rhea, call the police." Wrong thing to say. Because what did the guy do? He shoved the manager into a rack. The guy pushed him so hard that the manager fell over, so did the rack, and then ran out of the store. That was a good case of objectifying yourself. And it did not work. Now, following up to this, I think he got away and yada, yada, yada. Now, not too long after, a woman came into the store, not on the same day, but, you know, a couple weeks later. And I had noticed that she had put something into her bag. And instead of calling the manager, this time I walked up to her and I said, "I make $4.25 an hour, and that shirt you have in your bag is going to set me back a whole day's worth of wages." And what I remember happening next was that she looked me right in the eye with wide eyes. And for a moment, we just kind of like had a, you know, our gazes were locked. And then she reached into her bag, passed me the shirt, and hurried out of the store. Whew, we were able to just miss any kind of really interaction that would go bad for her or bad for me and bad for the store. And at no time during that intervention with that woman did I become the store as a manager did. Instead of speaking in that terminology, hey, you know, this store prosecutes people, I spoke about her actions and how it would impact me directly. And that helped me become a human in her eyes. And I avoid becoming a target. And really, I feel like I created an ally. So it's an interesting thing that we could do here very, very simply by using different terminology to really continue to help our connection thrive and grow instead of stop and not move forward. Okay. Oof. Thank you, Mr. Brontosaurus, for kind of clearing the air there. It's a good kind of blowout, isn't it? Yeah. Now, if you've been following along here, I really want to thank you. And if you're new to the program, you might know that I did a tribute, but you might not know, on the first episode of the Leading Chaos podcast. And I did a tribute to 9/11. And I really believe that Leading Chaos is all about taking that moment and leading chaos instead of having it lead you. And that's what happened on 9/11. It might have thrown us for a little bit, but professional and non-professionals alike throughout the world, in the cities of DC and New York and way out in rural PA, Western PA, people rose up, and also certainly on flights in the sky. And so you have the opportunity to join in on the second annual tribute to 9/11 via the Leading Chaos podcast, because I will be playing an interview that day of a real, it was an actual witness to the events of the day. I'll be speaking to David Schreiner Kahn during that episode. But you could join in by going to speakpipe.com/leadingchaos. And don't worry about that link if you don't remember it, but SpeakPipe is a kind of a cool little program. And it allows you to just via your laptop or your phone, your smartphone, leave a little voice message, and you can make a dedication, say something in memory for someone, or if you even want to share a little bit story about that episode. If there's more you'd like to share, just send me an email, Rhea@leadingchaospodcast.com. But that will be a link to the show notes to this, and please, again, just Google Leading Chaos SpeakPipe, and you'll get the link to it, and you could leave your own message. Maybe there's somebody that you want to just make note of and let us all know. You could just say their name. That's fine. Okay, so that wraps up this week. We have learned how to say things that allow us to avoid objectifying ourselves, and I hope I had you at hello. And that you will hold others in your heart, near and dear to your heart, as you help them move through conflict. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and work with your words, and always use an I statement. Ciao for now.